Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the last portion of the Holy Gospel, beginning at verse 25, which I'll read again for our hearing. Jesus said, "And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." This is the word of the Lord given to us this morning. Thanks be to Jesus. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, you've all heard this old saying before. The more things change, the more they stay the same. We can even apply that to this week. There has been change, and people have been talking of change and have been proclaiming change. But will that change really remain the same? Yet, what we hear in our text this morning is that Jesus tells us that there's a change coming, and that change, it will be a change that will be for the benefit of his children, but for the condemnation of those who do not believe. Dear ones, we're only a couple of weeks away. Only a couple of weeks away from the new year of the church, Advent. Advent is the threshold of a new church year. And as we walk through that threshold in 2 weeks, we'll be hearing about the one who is to come. We'll be hearing about the one who keeps coming to us. And we'll also be hearing about the one who says that he is the one who is to come. So today, this morning, let's take a closer look at what Jesus has told us from our text. Jesus is telling us that it is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who inspired the prophets of old and even inspired the disciples and the Apostle Paul to write about the coming Messiah and the Messiah who had come. In the Old Testament, the prophets spoke of a branch, of a seed, of one who would be riding on the foal of a donkey. As a matter of fact, when Jacob blessed his son Judah, Jacob said these words from Genesis chapter 49. "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nation shall be his." Some centuries later, another apostle, the man named Zechariah, wrote these words, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." These prophecies were fulfilled. The scepter did not depart from Judah. Jesus, the offspring of Judah. The ruler's staff did not leave him. It is between his feet. He is the one ruling even today. And Jesus brought all nations into obedience. And that final obedience will be seen on the great and final day of judgment. Jerusalem did rejoice, and Zion rejoices today. For the king did come there on Palm Sunday, riding on the foal of a donkey. The point is, dear ones, Jesus can be trusted. For Jesus fulfilled the prophecies. Every single prophecy about the Messiah, Jesus fulfilled perfectly. Every prophecy about Jesus, beginning at Genesis chapter 3 and all the way through to Revelation, Jesus has kept. Yet there is one more prophecy. One more prophecy that the Savior will keep. Jesus tells us, and he himself tells us, that the prophecies will be fulfilled. That the prophecies were fulfilled by him, his first coming. That he himself, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will inspire these men to write the books of the New Testament. And in those books of the New Testament, it is you and I here about the Messiah who has come, the Messiah who hung here from his throne, the King, was crucified for you and for me. As Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, your sin and my sin and the sins of the whole world were poured onto him, and he took your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world to the cross. There, the Lamb of God paid the final price. He who knew no sin became sin for you and for me. Jesus did this because of his love for each of you. For what man would be willing to sacrifice himself? Yet it was Jesus who was the man who sacrificed himself. Since Jesus has done this great work for you and me, he tells us that he will continue and that he will keep coming to you and to me and to all of his dear children. How does Jesus come to us? He comes to us, dear ones, in the Word. In the words, you hear the words of Jesus and he comes to you. Dear ones, he comes to you. Even before you were even aware, there at the font, Jesus came to you. You are no longer a child of wrath, but you are a child of God. For in the words of holy baptism, and by the washing of water, your triune God gave you new life. He came to you, and he gave you newness of life. And then, dear ones, as you come to this altar, Jesus comes into your midst. Jesus is here as he serves you body and blood. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells us, as Luke writes in his 22nd chapter, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you." Did you hear that? His body given for you, for each and every one of you. And then he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." He poured out his blood for each and every one of you. He comes to you in body and blood to strengthen your faith for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And you've already heard about baptism. Jesus gave the command to his disciples to go into all the world and to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That has happened for each and every one of you. You see, it is God who is constantly coming to you. And what does Jesus proclaim to you? He proclaims to you that he is the one who was, and he is the one who is. And since he is the one who was and is, he is the Lord, the one who has died for your sins, and the one who is coming to take you home. Yet Jesus also tells us that he is the one who is to come. He is the one who is to come. And then he gives us his own description of his coming. He warns us, though, prior to his coming, that we must be aware of certain things. Prior to his coming, Jesus tells us, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea, People will faint from terror, apprehensiveness of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. You see, there's no ambiguity. There's no mystery. There's no foolhardiness. When Jesus comes, the world will know it. As a matter of fact, people will be in such terror that the word for faint is actually in the Greek means that they will be falling dead in terror of the one who is coming. It always amazes me that people say that there is no Jesus. But on that great last day, they will see with their own eyes. But then it's too late for them. But for you and me, Jesus tells us that when these things begin to happen, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. For you, his children, when all of these things begin to happen, there is no fear for us. We don't fall faint and dead. No, we stand up and we lift up our heads into the heavens. For we know that there, as Jesus tells us, coming on the cloud in great glory and power, is your Redeemer. And you will see him, as you just sung, face to face. And in that there is no fear, but only joy. Joy because we know then that our redemption is near. You see, dear ones, Jesus gives you these words so you will not doubt. There are many who doubt today that anything good could ever happen in this world. But you know that good happens here each Sunday. You hear the preached word. That's good. You receive his body and blood. That is holy and good and just. You see, there are good things coming. There is the good one coming, your Savior. Stop and think about it. Each and every prophecy about Jesus has been fulfilled. Each and every prophecy that Jesus gave has been fulfilled. And as your children heard, there's just one more. If Jesus has kept all the other prophecies, if God, who is faithful, will remain faithful, we know that he will complete that last prophecy, that he will come on that great last day for you and for me. And he just doesn't come in silence. The world wants you to believe that he's coming quietly. No, that was the first advent. The first advent was one of quietness, of stillness, there in Bethlehem. But his second coming will be of great power and great glory. All the world will see him coming, and the unbeliever will die in fear. But you and I, we will stand up, even from our grave, and we will behold our Redemptor, Jesus Christ, and we will rejoice, for our salvation is drawing near. Therefore, dear ones, as we close, all that Jesus will do, all that he has done, and all that he's doing right this moment is in accordance with his most holy purpose. He has come. He has come to condemn those who do not believe. And he will come. He will come to welcome those and to deliver you and me, we his children. You see, there is a great day of deliverance coming. There is a great day of faithfulness coming. And you will see your deliverance. You will see the one who is faithful. Dear ones, you will lift up your heads and you will behold your salvation. You will see your King, Jesus. You will see him face to face. And his most precious words to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest, prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly indeed. Amen." Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. Today he has restored your joy in salvation. Thanks be to Jesus.